Thank you all for coming tonight, even though you thought it was going to be my father speaking, and I'm here instead.
All right, how do I get this up here, Mr. Kilby?
I got you, brother.
But I'm excited to be here with you guys. If you don't know me, my name is Cody Kleinbell. My father is Pastor Drew Kleinbell here, and he's over at the firehouse right now, so I'm taking over. And so a little about myself. I'm an upcoming sophomore up at Liberty University. I'm studying biomedical science and minoring in military leadership. So I'm going through ROTC as a contracted cadet. And when I graduate, I will commission as a second lieutenant in the United States Army. So just a little bit about myself. But I'm excited to be here with you guys. You know, I don't get a lot of time here now that I'm down at school and I was gone for a month. And so my father came to me about a week and a half ago, and he was like, hey, I'm working, you know, about a week and a half from now, and I need someone to preach, so there you go. Go get it. So I was like, all right, okay. So we talked about what I should speak about, and so hopefully you grabbed an outline on the way in. But I titled this message, Light Bulbs. So I'm excited to be here with you all tonight and share a little of what I have been learning during a whirlwind of a year. I think we have all had moments in our lives when it was as if a light bulb switch went on in our minds and we realized something that we hadn't realized before. Maybe you misplaced your phone or car keys, and then after a minute of panic, bing, the light bulb goes on, and you immediately calm down because you remember you left them in your coat pocket, the coat pocket you were wearing, or like me, you realize they were right in the hands that you have.
Oh no.
Or maybe you're watching a murder mystery show and you are left clueless as to who killed Mr. Green in the garage with the tire iron. But then as the clues are revealed and you piece it together in your head, you have a revelation and your light bulb dings on again. Well, for me, this seems to be a common occurrence in my life, and especially when it comes to my walk with Christ. Over this past year, God has opened my eyes to several important life lessons. I learned from these awakenings, God humbled me, my light bulb goes off, and I stop dead in my tracks and say, oh, I get it now. But these learnings aren't just for a moment. They are life truths, and they help me, empower me as I move forward and closer to God's will for my life. Tonight, I'd like to share a few of these light bulb experiences with you, and I pray that maybe a light bulb will go off for you as well. Let's jump into the first enlightenment that I experienced over this past year. And it is this, and this should be the first point on your outlines, and is not all battles are your battles. Now, this point seems simple, but it became extremely clear to me during my trip to Cambodia this past June. In December, I was chosen to travel with the U.S. Army in 1 month on a cultural understanding language proficiency trip. My orders, along with 29 other cadets, were to deploy to Cambodia. Now, I was hoping when I put in this application that I would get Paris or London or maybe even Jamaica. But I got Cambodia, so slightly second. I quickly looked it up and found it directly on the other side of the world. Cambodia is centered in between Vietnam, Laos, and Thailand. Cambodian's population is roughly around 16 million people. And out of that 16 million, about 96% are strong practicing Buddhists. Well, okay, I thought, cool. I'll set my mind on being a good testimony to them. My heart immediately thought, what an amazing evangelical opportunity this is. But boy, I had no idea what I was walking into. At the end of week two in Cambodia, my team and I traveled to Cambodia's royal palace and the incredibly decorated Buddhist temples. Here we got to see the wealth of Cambodia, which is scarce. It was in this Buddhist temple that God would open my eyes to a spiritual battle that I was oblivious to previously. I walked into this temple blind and came out with my eyes open. As I walked into this temple, we were told to remove our shoes. So my team and I walked in, and I immediately felt a dark spiritual presence. This heaviness in my chest felt like a spiritual alarm, alerting me that a very strong enemy was extremely close. As I pushed deeper into the heart of this temple, I noticed the floors. The floors of the temple are completely overlain in silver. The walls are covered in beautiful gold and beautiful jade. All the artifacts and spiritual sculptures made of gold, diamonds, rubies, and jade. Carpets and drapes are so expensive and made from such expensive material that they alone could almost feed an entire province in Cambodia for a year. Such extreme wealth was put into a simple temple, while just outside its gates, children are starving. Incredibly, no one said a word about it. As I followed the costly carpet to the main sanctuary, I saw hundreds of people bowing in worship to a 5-foot-tall Buddha, made of pure gold, laced with jade jewelry, and highlighted in large diamonds. One after another, they bowed and worshiped this false god, and I stood there speechless. See, I had learned about these false religions. I knew what they believed. I knew the gigantic numbers of followers. I knew the percentages. But what I had never sensed was the gravity of this tremendous spiritual battle until I saw it firsthand. Standing in that temple, it was as if God had allowed me to see through his eyes for 1 second. I saw the demonic presence in these false religions. I saw the chains of bondage on these individuals' wrists. And I felt the pain of seeing them acknowledge other gods rather than the one and only true God. My mind immediately went into fix-it mode. I need to jump up and I just need to proclaim the gospel and tell the truth to all these lost souls. For that is surely what God wants me to do, and by his grace it will work. Wrong. See, the roots of this issue go deep. Much deeper than I can dig in 3 weeks. False religions are not just some misguided belief, but these misguided beliefs will immediately wilt when told the truth. No. Instead, Cambodians know about Christianity, and they know about other religions. But for them, it's not just a religion, it's a culture. It's their heritage. Everything in their life is based off their religion. Their government is based off of Buddhism. Their society is based off of Buddhism. Their do's and don'ts are based off of this false religion. Holy cow. I thought, this is not a simple battle. Finally, I was seeing the battle lines, and they stretched further than the Great Wall of China. This was not going to be a simple task. This would take a vast amount of time and resources, years of Christians going and investing in these people. See, this spiritual battle needed people to sacrifice and to fight. This spiritual battle needed a trip much longer than a single month. And most of all, this battle needed the supernatural intervention of the mighty hand of God. And only he could break these century-old chains. So I emerged from the temple, and I took a small detour to the next different building. At this time, I wanted to be alone. And when I was alone, the tears began to flow. See, helpless, I knew that I would not be able to save all these people in a month. But I couldn't shake the thought of all these individuals spending eternity without God. See, I felt helpless. And here I am, the soldier who dreams of being a hero, the rescuer dying to save people. Yet, I knew I couldn't save any of them. And trust me, I tried. I was seeing a battle line, a very, very large one. And at this moment, the light bulb went off. God was telling me, this isn't your battle. After hours of prayer and worship in my room, I called my parents and told them the story. My mom began telling me about a friend whose daughter is in Cambodia. And this daughter takes in pregnant teen girls and gives them sanctuary and care. And while they do this, they share the gospel. My father then told me about the message that he had taught to you from Revelation, and how during the tribulation, so many people from all nations will come to Christ. So many that the number can't be counted. And then I read in Matthew 15 that even Jesus explained he had specific battles. Jesus is called by a Gentile woman, and Jesus responds, "I have come only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." Holy cow. It was as if a weight had been lifted off my heart and mind. See, I realized God's got this under control. He sent specific people here who were made for that battle. See, I saw God, this general at his finest, and saw how he moved his soldiers into these different positions to fight these battles. See, I believe God allowed me to see this battle line so that I could know that he's bigger than I had ever thought. That I could know that spiritual battles are much larger than I could have imagined. And mostly that he's in control, even in the battles that I never knew about. See, he showed me that not every spiritual battle being fought is my battle to fight it. He showed me how he designs people specifically for these battles. And although he gave me a month there, my battle was elsewhere. This brings me to my takeaway point, which you can find on your outline, which is you were designed for specific battles. Guys, it is crucial in our spiritual walks to realize that while not every battle is our battle to fight in, there are battles that are specific to our design. So how do we determine which battles are ours to fight in and which ones are not? Well, for me, I see two green flags that God has to wave. The first green flag God will wave is opportunity. And I think you can write that down on your outline. Do I have the opportunity to fight in this battle? See, as a cadet, under strict orders from the Army, and with constant supervision, my opportunity to minister in Cambodia was very small. If any love was to be dispensed, it would have to be accomplished without words. My opportunity was very short-lived, and in fact is no longer available to me. I neither have the financial means or the opening to go back anytime soon. As for opportunity, it becomes clear that the battle in Cambodia and the fight against Buddhism, God is not waving that green flag for me. But there's a second green flag God must wave as well. And it is just as necessary as having opportunity. That flag is the green flag of means. This flag is God supplying us with what we need to do the job he has for us. If I saw a man broken down on the side of a road, asking for a ride to the gas station so he could continue on his way, well, hey, I have an empty seat in my car, which tells me I have the means to fight in this battle. Now, using the two green flags of opportunity and means, I was able to determine what battles God really had for me. It became clear to me that my mission in Cambodia was not to change the Cambodian people, but to minister to my American teammates, who I traveled with, who I lived with, who I would remain in contact with. This battle provided me opportunity and means. I was able to determine that my battle currently is to the Liberty students and to my hometown. My battle currently is fighting in school to push myself mentally and to prepare for the future, all while living a life that is a testimony of his word. My battle would be to prepare for the military life God has lined up in front of me. My battle would be coming here tonight and sharing how God opened up my eyes. See, I encourage you to identify these battles that God has specifically designed you for. So maybe your battle is in your workplace, where not a single person knows Christ. Maybe it's in your home, with your children, with your spouse, or just in your family. Feeding the homeless, giving a helping hand to those in need, or like Miss Sarah and Joe, traveling down to Peru. See, but if you want to keep peace of heart and freedom in your soul, then don't get caught in the trap of fighting battles that are not yours. Instead, see what you have the means and opportunity to do and follow through in those areas. So, let's move on. My second point that I wanted to share with you is honestly probably the least favorite point of the night. The second way God opened my eyes is with this truth. Waiting for the horse to drink is draining. Now, if you have been around here for a little while, you've probably heard one of my father's favorite quotes. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. My father will use this quote when talking about people finding God and obeying God, or about evangelism. See, we can show and tell people about Jesus Christ, but we do not have the ability to force them to believe. But then there's the second part, what I believe is the most difficult. Not just believing, but to obey it. See, I've come to know many people who desperately need Christ. I've seen people going 100 miles an hour towards a brick wall and refuse to acknowledge God's truth. Some of my best friends who I love dearly fall into this category. I have shed the most tears and prayed the most prayers for people in my life who do not live for Christ. There have been times where I've questioned God. Why don't you just open up their eyes? It's easy for you. There have been times where I've tried to force Jesus down their throats and fill them with the Bible, trying to shove the horse's mouth in the water. And there have been other times, darker times, where I've completely written off the person and bought into the lie that they will never change. See, guys, it's hard when you've seen and tasted the glory of our God and others don't want it. We desire to share God with our loved ones, but they just don't seem to get it. They can't see him like we see him. That kind of disappointment can break you. But what we can't do is what I've done in the past, and throw that person away and completely lose hope that they will find salvation. You see, I've seen both sides of the coin here. I've witnessed a young man find a relationship with the Lord at the age of 13. And he desperately tried to share this newfound faith with his father. For years, he would go home and his father would attempt to prove that evolution was the answer. For years, my friend would go home and would have to defend the faith while attempting to be a good testimony for it. For years, he would have to fight and argue. For years, he would pray and wait for God's timing, all while never losing hope. And then one day, over 6 years later, he got a call from his father, saying that he gave his life to the Lord and that he was done running. Now let me tell you, that dad didn't just pray and be done with it. No, instead he dove into his faith and gave it over to God. He read his Bible like he was making up for lost time and watched and listened to old church services. See, we could tell that God truly opened up his eyes and his heart. And all of those years of prayers, tears, heartache, waiting, they had paid off. And you all witnessed that trophy-like ceremony as Mr. D took the pool last September and boldly proclaimed Jesus' name as he was being baptized. See, I wish I was there so I could see that young man's face as the victory was achieved. For only he truly knows how difficult it was to wait for that day after years of fighting and praying. So, this leads me into my takeaway point for this point. Never give up on your horse. This was definitely something I needed to learn over the years. We cannot lose hope that God will open the eyes of our loved ones. No matter how many times you led that horse to water, just keep taking faith. Once we lose the hope, the effort becomes lost. The prayers cease, the influence dwindles, and the battle is quickly forgotten. Guys, I know it's hard. Trust me. You see, for me, I've had a very special horse. One I've had for 13 years. I've been praying, but there is no change. Just won't drink. But God is clear that I cannot, and we cannot, lose hope. We have to keep trying. So that's what I do. And I pray for this individual every day. I try to be the best influence I can be. I try to speak less and listen more. I defend truth and never condone sin. But I just be their friend. And wait on God's timing. It would be easy to lose hope and throw that person away. But God calls us to fight on and wait. See, I dream of the day when I get to stand beside a pool and watch my friend proclaim the name of Jesus. See, I dream of the day when I get a call. It says I've stopped running. And I've given my life to him. But until that day, whether it comes or not, whether I'm here or at school, I will continue to keep hope and further the fight. It's not easy waiting. It's not easy to keep fighting. But in the end, I will stand before the throne. Stand before God, regardless of the outcome, and be able to say, I never quit, even through the pain. All right, this brings me to my third and final light bulb and my third realization in this. Seasons have to change. So, I've absolutely been blessed with an incredible life, an incredible family, a beautiful home, great friends, and an amazing church. It has shaped me, molded my personality, and grown me in more ways than anyone could count. When I went down to Liberty for this school year, I found myself in an incredible amount of doubt. Was I pursuing what I really wanted? And was I really where God wanted me to be? It was during a lengthy talk with my father about this that a light bulb went on for me. And I discovered the true root of the problem. See, I wasn't afraid of where I was going. I was afraid of what I was leaving. I was afraid of growing up. My season was changing, but I fought it. All I could think was, why leave this perfect world I had here? Why stay up all night studying? And why kill myself at 4 a.m. training when I had a perfect sanctuary 5 minutes from here? Having found the problem, my father and I began to talk. We talked about how to be thankful for all I've had and to celebrate it. But how in the end, I was called to move forward and on to the next chapter in my life. One that would be filled with adventure, the greatest of friends, and even more spiritual growth. I had to take a step from adolescence into manhood. Having that talk and finding the true root of my problem changed my entire perspective. It was this conversation that God used to open my eyes to the truth, that all seasons must come and they must go. See, Ecclesiastes 3 says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. Which brings me to my takeaway point. Enjoy the season you are in. God blesses each of us with every season in our lives. He desires for us to enjoy those seasons and to make the most of them. By learning from them, by growing during them, and serving in them. And when the time comes, we must be able to let go of that season and embrace the new one. See, I feel like my season here was just a short time. Well, my season in Virginia will be even shorter. So I challenge myself each day to grow and to learn and to take advantage of the time I have been given. I will always have my home here. But I had to let go of this season if I was going to be able to grasp the next. For me, I'm not a big fan of change. You can ask my mom, anytime she paints the house, I get angry. See, I'm perfectly fine with schedules and structures. I like it. So I'd be perfectly fine hanging out in one season for the rest of my life. But that's just not how it works. God doesn't operate like that. See, he calls us to journey onward and to reach new heights that seemed unreachable. He knows exactly what he is doing, much more than I know what I'm doing. I didn't want to grow up because I thought I could never enjoy the next season as much as I had enjoyed this season. But the truth is, my first year at Liberty has grown me, encouraged me to push myself, and it's given me the courage that I've never had before. It has brought trials to endure and amazing mountaintop highs to enjoy. And my favorite, it has brought me lifelong companions that the word friend just doesn't seem adequate to describe. So now I'm stuck in this season and I don't want to leave this one. But I can't think about that. So I just continue on and make the most of this season, not wasting it. I will grow, I will fight, and I will learn. I will serve, and I will enjoy it. Be thankful for it. Celebrate it. And when the day comes, by the grace of God, they strap the second lieutenant bars on my shoulders and hand me that diploma, I will turn the page, leaving that chapter in the book of my life to begin a new chapter, a new season, one with new relationships, more memories to be made, and undoubtedly, more light bulb lessons to be learned. I'd like to call the band up for final song worship. And we're going to close out our night singing. And I just encourage you that as we go through this last song, that you open up your hearts and you see what kind of light bulbs God may be asking you to turn on.